At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thing I regret not doing before I got married was welcome back, guys, to a late night episode of the Cousin
Connection podcast.
That was better. That was a lot closer.
Yeah, that.
I tried to do that, make it like you're adding your own effect.
There's an art to the we should have a segment. What? Tea with CCP?
TC. Yo, we got a lot of tea, but unfortunately, we can't talk about it here.
It was off camera business.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. But, you know, this might actually be the latest podcast we've ever recorded.
What time is it?
Like, it's 10:30 p.m.
I feel like we've recorded later.
What?
We've recorded later than this.
Maybe, like, our recordings have gone in later than this.
Remember?
Like, where we started earlier, but they have gone this late. But I don't think we've ever started from, like, this late.
What about when we were at the cottage, remember?
Those kind of, like, the offshoots don't count, okay? I'm talking about, like, a classic one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even that one wasn't that late. Like, remember, for some reason, when we were at the cottage, I think we slept pretty early. Like, we didn't stay up very late.
We were out all day.
Yeah, exactly. We were out all day, and we woke up really early to leave for the spots.
Yeah.
So we didn't have the luxury of staying awake later. And also there's like less distractions when you're out there, right? So you kind of like, once you're done eating, it's like, what else do you do? You just sit around, play games and talk.
You know what though? Like every time, anyone who knows me, like, mm-hmm. you know how nostalgic I like to be.
Yeah.
I love looking back at old photos. Like, I'm not living in the past. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I just like looking back and like remembering the memories. And that was such a fun
It was,
trip,
right?
But we should do another one.
I know. We definitely should.
Yeah.
One thing I do wish I did more, mm-hmm. and I keep telling people this, like, is utilize my social media more for myself. Because mm-hmm. like, you don't realize, like, when you curate those memories and post them, mm-hmm. like, sure, you're posting it for other people to see. But I realize now, like, I do go and look back at, like, my last post, which is
you
literally
do?
Okay. Not okay. I hate it when you do that.
I love doing it because you get so mad. I know how to trigger him.
Am I clipping the mic? I am actually clipping the mic. Let me turn myself down a quick.
Okay, maybe you should go back to 4.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back down to 4. Okay, I clip it very easily. But yeah, so like, you know, sometimes when you when you click on your like profile page and you see the photos, you just click on it, you're like, oh, I remember this kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, and the weird thing is that, like, I've done so much since then.
Yeah.
I think that's my last post. Let me see what my last post was. I'm pretty sure that's the last one.
I'm about to stalk you, too.
From
the cottage?
The cottage photos from 2023.
Amir, you know, okay, first of all.
What?
First of all.
What?
How did Hanan not make the feed yet?
See, that's the thing. I don't post that often. Like, and it wasn't even from 2023, because I think we went in 2022.
We did.
And I posted it in May of 2023.
You were, oh my God, here's that photo.
Yeah. See, it's in there. I still couldn't find, I remember last week how we were speaking about our Disneyland trip.
Yeah.
I couldn't find the OG photo. I have it there, but I don't know where the OG photo is. It's somewhere on my computer.
That's like pure fear.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought it was perfect. I'll tell you, it's a perfect picture.
That's so funny. And then you.
Yeah. if you look at it, like, it's different, like, levels of emotion.
I know.
Fear.
Like, Nabat is just in the, like, I know we already spoke about this, but guys, now that you have, just screenshot this.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's the best. Because, like, look, it's me, it's acceptance of fear. Sara, again, Gizman is, like,
she's kind of smiling-ish.
She's like,
right? I can tell she has the grasping hands, but she's not grasping onto anything.
Exactly.
She was definitely afraid.
It was like the uneasy fear.
Iman
is like the surprise kind of fear. Yeah. You are complete, just like terrified level of fear. And Nabat is like relishing in the fear.
I'm just taking, like, the video. The longer I stare at this, the funnier it is.
I'm telling you, that's why I like looking back at photos like that, because then you remember like how you felt in those moments.
That's what I'm saying. And like, I'm just like,
but now I wish that I, because look, that was from 2022, or like those photos are from 2022.
Yeah.
And I haven't posted anything since, but I've done so much, and I am, and you know me, everyone here who's watching knows me. My memory is trash.
I know.
So like, it actually does help to have those reminders on there.
Yeah.
So I might start utilizing social
media
again.
You know,
I didn't even post my own wife on there. I think I've like reposted like one or two people.
Yeah. You never actually like, and you have some like HQ photos, right?
What are high quality?
Yeah.
Did you say HQ for high quality photos?
Yeah, that's literally, it's a known thing.
I don't think anyone, no one says HQ photos.
Anyone who knows.
No one says that.
I promise you there are people out there who say HQ.
You literally the one and only.
Okay, HD, HQ, same thing. They're interchangeable.
But like no one says HD photos. People just say photos. You just assume that people say photos.
I've heard people say HD.
What? No,
like
no, okay.
High def.
Like back in the day when high def was like new, when there was a difference between SD and HD.
What the hell's SD?
Standard definition.
Oh, I thought you were going to say shitty definition.
That could work too.
Yeah, that's like SD, really?
That could work too, honestly. Yeah.
But like, okay, people, I know y'all, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's because if you're on the internet and stuff, people say HQ. Or is HQ headquarters?
Headquarters. Yeah, HQ is normally known as HQ headquarters.
But you got it. You immediately. You said high quality.
Yeah, because I know how your brain works.
So why don't we ever win those games whenever we play?
Because we're always on different teams.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. They do divide us. They're like, nah, y'all can't be.
Exactly.
But the point of the matter is, why don't you use like stories? You know how you can have highlights now?
I use it for a little bit. It's just that like social media, I'd never gravitate towards it. I don't know why. Like posting on there. The thing is that I think I was even saying this yesterday. We'll talk about where we were yesterday. But like I was telling someone, I was like taking videos of everything. Mm-hmm. I told him like, I'm not even taking these videos for anyone except for my wife. I used to take them for myself. Now I take them for my wife.
At least you're sending it somewhere.
Exactly. But there are gigabytes.
I know.
Of
you know what?
Amir, that are not posted anywhere, videos.
Amir does, like, he is out there taking content. That doesn't see the light of day.
And the thing is, I take it in a way that I'm like, oh, this would be good content, but I never post it.
I don't know why you do that. I mean,
what?
At this point, just start posting stuff.
Yeah, and it's also just there's no time. Like,
no time for what?
To post stuff. Like, I don't
mean?
Like, because I overthink things. So, like, think of the clips that we post for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm not lying. I'll literally be sitting there like having it in the background for 10, 15 minutes because I don't know what to write. I'm like, I feel dumb just saying, okay, go watch this or whatever. Like I want to give like some.
Oh, the caption?
Yeah, some type of caption to it.
Yes, the caption is always.
But not only for the post itself, but for the repost, like the story.
Oh, you're talking about that?
Yeah.
I was gonna say I post the captions. I'm the one that's.
No, not that one.
Reposting the story? Come on.
That's why I get intimidated by social media.
But you're like, I feel like you do a good job. Like, I know it probably takes you hours just to come up with that one line.
Yeah, literally. And sometimes I'll get frustrated and just post it with a link.
I noticed those times. You know what it is?
There were a couple times, I'm not going to lie, where we posted the clip.
Yeah.
And because I couldn't think of a line, I just didn't repost it.
Is that why you never reposted?
Like a couple times, yeah.
Really?
Because I'll have it in my background. And then it'll be like 2 hours later. I'm like, it's probably too late. No one's going to care anyway. So I'll just not post it.
No, like, honestly, I think... just don't overthink it.
I overthink everything. I don't know why.
But just like try not to. Because I'll tell you, like
that really helps that.
That was the worst advice. Just try not to do it. My
just
thing?
Just don't.
I remember, so like, okay, once upon a time, back in like maybe 2015, 2014 mm-hmm. to 2016, remember when Snapchat was really big?
Yeah.
I used to dominate Snapchat. Do you remember? I used to post the funniest things on. I don't know. You won't remember.
I don't think I ever watched Snapchat.
Amir doesn't remember. Yeah. Did you even have Snapchat?
I did, but the only time I used it was when I had one friend who wanted a streak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did.
I would literally open the app, send whatever random thing, and close the app and not open it till the next day.
So I used to always post like random funny things. Mm-hmm. Like I would have thrived in Vine, but yeah. I just never got into Vine. Mm-hmm. I only really posted it to people that I knew clearly. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's where I was able to display my best quality jokes, mm-hmm. you know? And then we went to Instagram. And I feel like Instagram is just so much more public.
Yeah.
Like it's not like contained like Snapchat.
You have to
like
be
Snapchat.
Like more put together on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah. Right? And so.
That's why I'm intimidated.
But I mm-hmm. still like, I think that's where I started to like put more thought into mm-hmm. what I was posting, and I was like curating it more.
Yeah.
We're about to get deep for real, like a hot second.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, obviously like when Aisha's channel started to like blow up more yeah. and we were doing like hijabi talks and like the random mm-hmm. vlogs that we would be in. And you know, like her fans, like they're a loyal fan base where they're like not just interested in her, but like everything around her.
Yeah.
So then people
started to like.
That's how it
typically works with YouTubers and social media.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they would start to follow like you, me, mm-hmm. the girls. And then I felt like this pressure to like, I wasn't even.
To post yourself, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I wasn't even like an influencer in any way whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like the podcast hasn't even been born yet. Like we were just regular people.
Yeah.
And then I would like post these things, but overthink to the max. Like mm-hmm. if I show you, Amir, look at this. So right now I have 50 posts on my page.
Yeah.
Okay. But look at this. If I show you
my
archives, there's like hundreds. Look at this. Hundreds of photos, just all here.
Yeah.
Of photos that I overthunk.
Thought. Yeah, well, thunk works too. We'll keep it.
Did I just say overthunk?
Hey. You said HQ earlier, you know, we're making things up.
What's going on? Anyways, I over. I'm judging myself for
you
that.
Overthunk
one.
It. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You overthunk it.
But like all these photos, yeah. all these, I archived them. Mm-hmm. Y'all will never see these. Maybe one day. But like, and it keeps going, literally.
But you're not unique in that sense. Because I see a lot of, mainly women do this, but sometimes guys do it where you'll be like, oh, they have 5 posts. And then the next day, there's 0.
Yeah. And so like, there was a period of time too. Like, I think it was maybe during COVID. Like post COVID, like 2021, 2022, where I was kind of just like, what are we doing social media for? Like, even though the mm-hmm. podcast had just started, sorry, when I laugh, I cry. So now there's like a tear forming.
I think they know that by now.
I know, clearly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really wanted to just like delete my personal page. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, the pressures of keeping the personal page to appear, what's that word? To appear like, relatable to our audience.
Yeah.
And like that's how a lot of people connect with us, is like if they don't reach out through the Cousin Connection page, they'll reach out to me or you yeah. personally. So I'm like, okay, I have to keep the page now. Mm-hmm. Then I went through a phase where I'm like, you know what, I don't even want my face on the internet.
Everybody goes through that phase,
but we have this.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, this is a controlled setting. Mm-hmm. So are my photos though, because I literally select them and post them.
Yeah.
But I removed all the photos with my face in it.
Okay.
Again, makes no sense because I literally am on here every yeah. single week.
You're making it hard for yourself to find a husband.
For
first place guys go is to that Instagram page.
You should see my profile picture. It's literally an aerial shot of my forehead and my nose. Like, so attractive. But yeah, so I got rid of them, and then I had this like, not epiphany, but it was just like, mm-hmm. you know when you go for your walks and that's like your time to be deep in thought? Yeah. And I'm just like literally, what am I doing? I know that I've posted all these pictures because once upon a time, I actually just liked them.
Mm-hmm.
So like, why am I thinking too much about it? I'm just going to
you should just do it for yourself.
Yeah. Cause I feel like I stalk myself more than anyone that follows mm-hmm. me. Like I like to look back and like
yeah.
laugh at the comments and like, oh, this is a really funny yeah. like post. Like, do you remember that one New York picture that I posted that made like no sense and no one understood why I did it, but it was so funny. and I like photoshopped Tim's on my, like those big Tim's on my feet in Sebring.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And like I read back the comments and the caption and stuff, and I was like, this is my humor. Like, why am I hiding this from people? They should see this side of me, but they don't. So it's unfortunate.
Also, it's just like fun to have up there because you put yourself back in the shoes of like who you were at that moment.
Right. This one. Here it is. Look at it.
Like, see, I remember that photo.
Do you see Sebri in the text?
I didn't know you lost that photo. You deleted it. Oh, I didn't even remember he was. I didn't even see that he was in there.
Yeah. I don't even know what inspired me to post this.
But also, like, seeing photos of yourself or putting yourself back in those shoes, you know, those Tims that you were wearing, can remind you of the person you were.
Right.
And, like, sometimes it can actually help you because, like, let's say, like, from that was, what, 2017? And, like, you've changed and there are, like, certain things that you changed that you don't like. You can put yourself back in those shoes and be like, I want that. I want, like, pieces of those sides, that side of back. And, like, it can help you, like, reformulate yourself as a person to probably bring back the things that you lost maybe because of, like, some trauma in your life or whatever. And, you know, bring you back into that mindset and actually be a positive.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You, I'm just saying, you know,
I mean, not him, you're in his therapist era. Like, okay. But yeah, no, exactly. And like, I think that, like, I don't know if that's why I'm so nostalgic. I should like deep dive into that later, like, off camera, obviously, because like we're not
ironically enough, like yesterday we were at a show for Hassan Logic. We had him on the podcast before. I think we mentioned last week we were going to go to the show.
Yeah.
Well, we went to a show yesterday. Mm-hmm. Went beautifully. It was at the, what was the place called again?
It's called A Different Story.
Let me pull this up real quick. It was called.
Sorry, Hassan. What was it
different
called? I think it's called A Different Story.
I'm going to pull it up here real quick. Reposted on their page, so I can actually pull it up now.
Oh, a different book list.
A different book list. Yeah, so he had it at a place called A Different Book List. And before we even talk about the event, I didn't know that this place existed. I thought it was really cool. Yeah. It was literally a whole bookshop dedicated to POC artists and authors.
Is that why they had all that artwork
and
stuff?
Did you not realize that?
No, I was like, oh. And then I saw like Abdi Fattah and I'm like, hey, we know him.
Yeah. Oh no, that one was actually put up by a couple of the people, one of the photographers at the event.
Oh, yeah, okay. Those two. Okay.
But the rest of the location, like, I didn't even notice at first because I was waiting in line. I think we were just like talking to Hassan and he was actually signing books at the time. And I was looking around. I'm like, I'm noticing a lot of black authors here and like just like black influence in general, because like at the top of the wall there was a bunch of pictures of different black authors and like maybe influencers of like the generations in the past. And as I started looking at the books, like I noticed that, you know, I'm seeing more color than I am seeing, you know, non-color. And then eventually I realized, oh, this is actually a whole bookstore dedicated to black artists and black authors. So that was just a cool thing I didn't know we had in our own city. And I thought it was like a very appropriate spot to be hosting his event.
Yeah. Right. I've never heard of that place, to be honest.
me neither. And now we know about it, right? Yeah. And actually, like, it is, it's not super close to my spot, but it's definitely closer than I am here, you know? So, like, I wouldn't mind going there one day with, like, Hanan or something. Huh? No, I could probably ride my bike there.
No, I'm saying from Scarborough?
Oh, yeah, from Scarborough, it's definitely a long drive. Definitely a long drive.
I wouldn't make that drive for anyone but him. Like,
but from where I am now, I could probably take public transit there easily because it has streetcars.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
In front of my place is streetcars, so just take it right down. I don't know. I need to figure it out, but... yeah, so the setting itself was already, like, a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he had the actual show, and I didn't know what to expect, but I think he just had, like... It was a very, like, intimate event.
I thought it was, like, the right amount of people...
Yeah.
...for that vibe.
Exactly, exactly. It felt like everyone was, like, part of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, because he had... First, he had just an opener... comedian, like, come up and, you know, tell some jokes from, and he's actually from, he has a podcast himself in the city.
Switching Gears. Yeah.
So he was there to open up the event for us and kind of get everybody warmed up. And then he also had, really bad at names. There was a girl who came up as well.
The one that was moderating.
No, there's another girl. Oh. I wish I could remember her name, but she also went up and she told some of her own poems or presented some of her own poems. And that was also beautiful. They're really good poems, you know. And he finally came up and he started presenting his poems. And one thing he said is that he believes as an artist that, like, people should be able to take away something from you and understand you better and maybe learn something from what you're expressing. And I feel like he really did that very well, like, just from presenting his poems, but also, like, the event in itself, like the conversations that we were having and the conversations that were brought up, because it was actually very similar to what we were talking about right now.
Mm.
When you're talking about, like, living in the moment, looking into the past and, like, even appreciating, like, the sour events in your life. That sour, you know, the sweet talk. The book, by the way, his book is called Sweet Talk. But he actually did mention that, like, in one of his poems specifically, it plays on those words of, like, sour and sweet.
Like flavors.
And flavors.
Yeah.
And relates them to memories.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, like a sour grape can turn into, you know, we don't drink, but, like, can turn into, like,
a sweet wine
in the future, right? Essentially, like, it's a metaphor for how, like, a sour event in your life can eventually, over time, become actually a more positive, when you look back on it, maybe a more positive experience, and that, like, you, what you've learned from it.
Yeah, you extract the lessons from the hard times.
Exactly.
And use that to kind of, like, propel you forward into the future and go with, like, a more, like, you know how people always say, like, whenever you look back at, like, an old memory and you're like, oh, if the Amir today would have just been able to re-experience that, I would have done this, and this differently. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But then that Amir of today wouldn't be Amir of today if you didn't experience that to begin with, right? So it's like a whole, you know, it's a time loop thing where, like, you know, if you went back and changed it, would you be the same person to know to change that? You know, just say, man, time's kind of weird. But that's why I feel like every experience, whether it be good or bad, you know, really does inform who you are in the future.
That's if you have the ability to even take the lessons, right?
Because I guess so.
There are people who it feels like they're stuck in this constant loop of, like, experiencing the same thing over and over. And usually that happens when you don't learn your lesson the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because life will have a way of teaching you the exact same lesson until you pass.
And unfortunately, there you can see a lot of examples of that, right? Of people, we can't both go for it.
But I was thirsty.
At the exact same time?
Yeah, because you're supposed to say
now, like, we're going to have a quiet, okay, just take your
no,
tea.
You're supposed to say, like, a good line and then just be like, you know, sips tea.
Sips tea?
Say a line.
It's too late now. You can't force the moment, Sara. We're talking about sip about moments tea. Here, okay?
Fine, just sip it all goes. You're chugging the tea.
Oh, shoot. We're good. Oh my god. But yeah, so just like I think I could be probably the best example of how, like, he did accomplish that with his art, where, like, him expressing these things and putting it in those words, like, really does make you rethink, like, oh, you know how you can it gives you a different perspective of how you look at memories, whether they be good or bad, right?
One thing that I like loved so mm-hmm. much that he did.
Yeah.
Because maybe I'm just a nerd in this sense, but like, you know, what is that? That one YouTube channel called? Is it called Versed? Versed or something with the yellow background?
Shoot. It's not called Versed. Oh my God. What is it called?
I don't know.
I can find it right now.
Where the artist will basically like break down their song lyric by lyric and explain the thought process of writing it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Is it not called Versed?
It's literally a thing that's memed on the internet.
What's it called?
No, it's Genius.
Genius.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And he basically would like, he picked certain poems that he had and mm-hmm. then he just like, he would kind of sort of read it to us. He wasn't performing it at that point. Reading it.
It's actually called Verified.
I knew it was a V. I'm like, Genius? Really?
No, you know why they said call it that? Right. Because in Rap Genius, whenever there's a new song that comes out, people will break down the lyrics themselves and write notes.
Oh.
And then eventually the artist will look through those and they'll verify what it actually means. So it's verified. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. I just little nerd note.
I didn't know that. Is that why it's called Verified?
Yeah.
The yellow background videos?
Yeah. Oh. Because this is the artist actually giving you their interpretation of what they were saying.
Oh.
Or like the breakdown of what they were saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
A little tidbit for y'all to check you.
Yeah, he basically had his own version of that where yeah. he, you know, explained his thought process and like basically just broke down the meaning of each line. Yeah. And I felt like, you know, even when he was on our, I feel like we had a really good episode with him where he was already explaining those things. And yeah. a lot of the conversations we had yesterday was like a very open dialogue type of vibe. Mm-hmm. We kind of had those same similar, like if you guys haven't seen that episode, I'm going to link it here in the top of this video. Yeah. But I feel like it really kind of helps you understand the way that his brain works and mm-hmm. how he can take a memory or a concept and just like turn it into this beautiful masterpiece.
Exactly. And like, you never really get that a lot of, because I was expecting him just to read his poems out and we would have like question and answer time or whatever.
Mm.
But yeah, it's always nice to just hear what the artist was thinking at the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that how like far he went with it. Like I knew that he did like shows and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but apparently like he went international.
Yeah.
And like made it like fourth place in all of North America.
Yeah, he doesn't see that as an accomplishment, but you know.
And he did that all in spite.
Yeah, literally.
He's like, I can do that. You can also watch the episode and when he was speaking about what really got him into poetry. But yeah, that, it was just a really cool event.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot I took from it. And actually it did make me think about like, because I do have this like inability to savor moments, and he was also talking about that, like speaking of flavors and sweet talk, like he talked about savoring moments and even the small moments. But I think I do take, the thing is I'm really bad at savoring big moments.
So you never, like if you're in a, like you're at a gathering of some sorts, don't you ever just
That's why I'm saying smaller moments where you just had like maybe like a small hangout or whatever.
Yeah.
I can savor those more than, like a good example would be recently I was talking to Hanan, my mm-hmm. wife, and she was like, oh, aren't you excited? We know we're about to move into a new place. Right. And the moment she said that, I was like, I can't really say I'm excited. Like I wasn't feeling anything.
What?
I was literally just like, because my brain at that moment, I couldn't even be in the moment. It couldn't be in that moment of her when she was asking me that, or I couldn't think about it because I was just thinking about the hundreds of things that I need to do.
Mm.
Right. Because I was thinking about like, you know, okay, now I need to figure out where am I going to get my internet? When am I going to start moving my stuff? What stuff should I move first? Like, should I move my work stuff first? Like how much clothes should I take? Cause I'm going to be doing like a buy house thing. Like I'm going to be in this house on the weekends. Am I going to be in here on the weekends? Like there's literally 1,000 things going through my brain at that time that I couldn't even like be in that moment to just be happy that I finally got a place, because this was after 2 months of searching for a spot.
Yeah.
And literally like I thought I would feel something when I got a spot.
Mm-hmm.
I felt nothing. Like the only thing I felt at that point is like, okay, what do I have to do next?
Low key.
Yeah.
And don't be offended by this.
What?
But what you just described is like what people say like ADHD brain is.
Is that ADHD brain?
Kind of. Like, because you always, like, are you the type of person that'll look at a whole list
mm-hmm.
Or are you the type to look at one thing and you're like, okay, once I'm done this, let me go to the next thing, and you don't bother looking at the rest of the items?
I'll look at everything and try and like figure out how I'm going to get it all done. Why is that? What people,
well, like, because and that's probably why, it's because mm-hmm. you're looking at, like, it's so much easier to not even feel overwhelmed, but it's so yeah. much easier to like shut off mm-hmm. if you're looking at like a 10-step list mm-hmm. versus like, she just said, aren't you excited to move in? Like, that's it.
Yeah,
didn't even bother asking about internet and move, when am I gonna yeah. move in, just that one simple question. But you like almost like blocked yourself from even feeling that excitement because you were thinking about everything yeah, else after. Yeah, because
move in is so heavy. There's so many things.
Yeah, but you have so much help, Amir. We're like,
yeah, I know that. I know that. It's just that like, I can't not think about it. My brain is already thinking 50 steps ahead, literally. And that's for everything. Like anything, yeah. anything, even like being one thing. Let me think of another like very extreme example. Like when we were in Australia mm-hmm. and we went to the 12 apostles, mm-hmm. like I was sort of in the moment, but my brain was still in 100 different places.
What?
Yeah. I can never be in a moment. Very rarely. I'm only in a moment in small, like almost mundane moments. Like I can be in the moment. That's why I like taking walks. 'Cause I can be more in the moment when taking a walk. I don't know why. I think it's because I can be more in the moment when something is more related to my routine. It's very weird. I think it's because it's controlled and I know what the next step is. So because I know what the next step is, that's why I love routine. Because I know what the next step is, I can be a lot more in the moment because I don't have to think about what's next. It's already taken care of.
Wow, we're so opposite. But like, I love a good routine too. I love a good routine too. Like my Monday to Friday, like yeah. Monday to Sunday, whatever. Like my life here is mm-hmm. for sure in a routine.
Yeah.
But especially on vacation or like special occasions, whatever, like mm-hmm. you know, event of some sort of travel,
yeah,
I love the ability to just be present, which I never like. I don't think I've always been this way, but mm-hmm. like, because before, as I was saying a couple minutes ago about being present in the moment, I mean yeah. Feeling pressured to post on social media, mm-hmm. my mind was always like, let me get the perfect shot, mm-hmm. but now I'm like, I don't care, let me just try to take a mental memory of yeah. this, you know what I mean? Or a mental photo of this, and just like truly, like I'll take a photo or video or whatever, yeah. but I really focus on being present and just remembering how I felt in that moment so that when I do go back and mm-hmm. look at the photos or watch the videos, I actually remember how I felt during that time. Mm-hmm. You got to yeah. practice being the present. The thing
is, I think I used to be, not I used to be. So one thing, remember how last week you mentioned that one of my favorite memories was my siblings. With my sibling, with Aisha, was when we went on a trip to Europe. Mm-hmm. So one reason that I was able to be so in the moment mm-hmm. during that trip was because everything was taken care of. So like mm-hmm. at that point, I didn't. My sister was already like very on point with like getting tickets and all that stuff and like finding a place. I almost did nothing when it came to actually putting it together. So because I didn't have to do anything, I was a lot more in the moment. Like I was just like, okay, you know, lead me to where we're going next. Tell me what we're going to do next kind of thing, right? But now as I'm older and like I'm the one who's taking the lead in a lot of situations, I have to think about those things. So I can't really be in the moment when it's happening. So that's why I like smaller moments, because smaller moments that are closer to my routine or like, you know, your weekend hangout are a lot. There's a lot more control and a lot less like variables to think about.
Wow.
Is that not how I feel like a lot of guys think like this.
Maybe.
Because I don't know. Maybe it's a very like male centric thing, because there are a lot of responsibilities that men in general, even if they don't have to take on these responsibilities and people are willing to help with that, they still have that like thought in their head, or like that conversation always going on in their head.
Something just a concept just popped into my mind. Mm-hmm. Is it true that like okay, so like when we travel or if we're going out somewhere, because mm-hmm. I know this doesn't always like sometimes it crosses my mind, but not as often as I think in a male's brain it would.
Yeah.
But like if we're out somewhere, do you like scope the scene? identify any potential dangers or like, okay, if this was to happen, how would we exit?
Oh, yeah. Guys always think about that kind of stuff. Well, I do.
So that's a thought. That's it. Like, if we're at the airport, do you think like, okay, if our flight gets canceled, like, are you, is your brain just constantly going?
Yeah. Like the thing is, even when we were doing that, when we were flying to Australia and there was a whole issue with our flight ticket thing, mm-hmm. because you guys were mostly kind of taking lead on that, I wasn't as stressed.
Yeah, you.
So I wasn't really thinking about much.
He was testing out the camera.
Yeah, I was like testing out the camera. So yeah, in that sense, I kind of relieved control to you guys. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you know, we'll figure it out.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Like I'll be for real with you. Mm-hmm. I was a little stressed, mm-hmm. but I also knew like when I travel with like me. Mm-hmm. When I travel with Nabat, I don't really have to think. Like, she just kind of does all
the See, exactly. So sometimes if you relieve control to someone else, then you can be more in the moment. So it is a lot of times dependent on, like, how much control you have or whether you are looked at to, like, figure out what's going to be happening next.
But normally, Amir, I feel like you're super introspective that, like, you... Mm-hmm. You have the ability to recognize like, okay, I'm really stressed in the moment or.
Yeah, I can recognize it and like I can do things to mitigate it, but it's like still there.
Do you, what's the word? Do you, what's the word?
What?
Like, is it conceptualize your feelings? Like you don't actually feel what you feel, but you just like, like you just talk about it.
Yeah, like one thing I realized about myself also is that like I never have extreme emotions in either direction. Does that make sense?
I'm diagnosing you.
Like
no, shut
up. Like I never get super excited, like overwhelmingly excited.
Yeah.
I never get overwhelmingly like happy, quote unquote. But then again, I also never get overwhelmingly mad. Or like sad. I never have extreme emotions. That's one thing I realized about myself is that I never like. I can't think of any time that I've had. Now, yeah. Like maybe in the past, but over time, maybe because it works both ways. So as you're growing up, you try and control your emotions to a sense, and usually you're trying to control the negative ones. Mm. But because you're trying to control the negative ones, it might work in both ways. Where because you're trying to stop yourself from feeling like extreme negative emotions, it might hinder you from feeling extreme like positive emotions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I actually have a different approach to that.
What?
I think like it's not even just regulating the emotions. Mm-hmm. It could just be like, because, you know, your emotions on opposite ends of the spectrum are meant to, like, you can't feel one without the other. Mm-hmm. You can't fully feel joy and happiness without feeling pain and sorrow.
Exactly.
So it's like, as when you're younger, not necessarily as a kid, but like when you're a teenager, when you're very impressionable mm-hmm. and you feel like, you know, happy or sad, it's like kind of like the extreme ends of either or, because it's like maybe like your first... Not your first time feeling it, but like as a somewhat conscious individual, mm-hmm. you know, you're conscious of yourself. Like yeah. You're not like an infant. Mm-hmm. And so then because you're feeling like the opposite ends, as your frontal lobe develops mm-hmm. and you're kind of, you know, coming into your own like adult, then you're like, okay, well, like, is that extreme emotion really necessary? Like, do I have to be that excited? Do I have to be that angry? Like, and then you start to self-regulate. Mm-hmm. But then it's also just like, I'll give you an example for myself. Like for me, I don't, you know me, okay? I'm pretty emotional. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. we're opposites in a lot of these things.
We really are. I've always been very, like just very in tune with my emotions.
Yeah, and you definitely wear your emotions on your sleeves.
You know, extreme ends on both sides. Yeah. Extreme happiness, extreme anger, sadness, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then as you get older, it's kind of just like, I kind of feel like, you know what? What goes up must come down. Mm-hmm. So like, yes, I'll let myself be happy and like I feel it. But then I'm just like, okay, you know, this happiness is temporary. Mm-hmm. But then if I'm really sad, I'm like, okay, this sadness is temporary. So it's always like whatever emotion that you're feeling, it's basically just like an ongoing uphill, downhill cycle.
Yeah.
So like I still let myself feel those feelings. I just, I think I just don't like go to the full extreme like I used to. Maybe, mm-hmm. potentially.
Yeah. I wish I could. I wish I could let myself. I mean, I wish I could get to that level.
I think you can.
Where I do feel. I can at least like feel it for a moment.
No, but I think you can.
Huh?
I think you can.
I can, but it's usually like unexpected.
You know what I notice about you? When you actually are present in the moment.
Yeah.
And like like I've noticed this a few times when we've traveled or whatever, and I ask you something. This is you when you're in the moment. That's actually you that's when I know that like you're taking it in, mm-hmm. and you just kind of like look around and you're like slowly nodding. I don't know to who or to what.
Yeah,
that's what I've noticed.
Yeah, that kind of happens sometimes. It's very few and far between, but it does happen.
But I can remember like you doing that.
Yeah.
Like remember when we were in LA in 2022 in November.
Yeah.
And we all like kind of watched the sunset in that one beach. Remember that beach?
Which beach?
When we all wore the Happy Looks Good on You merch and we were taking photos.
Oh, yeah.
What beach was that?
It was not Laguna Beach.
No.
It was past, was it Bruce something? No. It was past Miami Beach. Or not Miami Beach, Malibu Beach. Yeah. It was like a little bit past it. I don't know what that place is called. I think we mentioned it last week, but I completely forgot what it was called now.
But that place, mm-hmm. like when we were just like sitting and watching the sunset and like just like all talking and just having a good time, I felt like you were just, this is you.
Mm. Well, like that's also another example of some place where I wasn't looked at for
you didn't have to take the
guidance
lead.
Or like I didn't have to take the lead in any sense. Like I was the only thing I had to do was being told, okay, we got to go and I'm driving. That's it. Right. And so that allows me to be more in the moment. I just hope that I can train myself to be more in the moment when I'm also taking the lead. Because I feel like that's really going to be important now that I'm married. And like, as you know, as a husband, usually you're looked at as leader to like, you know, put things together, plan things, like, you know, get things in order. Mm. But I kind of right now I have to like give up being in the moment to be able to do those things.
But you don't. You can do both.
No, I know I don't. Okay, but that's my problem. That's the thing I need to work on.
Try like practice being present while you're taking the lead.
I just don't know how to do that. I need a therapist.
you know what it is?
Yeah.
Like a way that you can practice being present, even if you're taking the lead, like whatever, like say even during your move-in process,
because
you're gonna have to probably, you know, she's technically a guest, she's moving here from another country, so she's can't take the lead on much, like she's kind of just following your lead.
Yeah,
but a way that you can practice being present is just like identify things that you see or like how you're feeling in the moment. You could be extremely stressed and you're like pissed because I don't know, maybe the movers brought the truck late or whatever, but just remember that and be like, oh, I'm like, you know, I'm really pissed. Or, for example, like the first night when you guys actually get to like move in.
Yeah.
And you are sleeping probably on the floor because you don't have furniture yet. But like, remember those moments, because 10, 15 years down the line, when inshallah you have kids and stuff, you could be like, oh, yeah, you know, when we first moved in, we had no furniture. Mm-hmm. You know, when our parents always tell us that kind of stuff. And we're like, what? You slept on the floor? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's one thing. Like you mentioned earlier, I'm very introspective. So the fact that I'm mentioning these things means that I've thought about these things already. I just hope that I can actually implement them when they're happening.
Having this conversation,
going back into routine and just getting in my head.
Having this conversation will, inshallah, remind you.
She'll definitely hear this, so she's gonna be aware of it now too.
She'll start like playing it on a loudspeaker subtly so they can get the hint.
Just so I can remember it. Oh my god.
That's funny.
Yeah, but those were a couple of things that, you know, this is all spurred off by Hassan's poems. So you know, art can, you know, affect people in different ways. So, you know, you're doing your thing, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he was talking about, you know, people inspiring him. And I, when after the fact, like when the event was done, I made him sign my book. And he called me his favorite fave cousin. So
He wrote my fave cousin.
Yeah, I got my favorite fave cousin.
We're going to have a conversation after this.
But <No. laughs> as he was signing the book, we were talking about, you know, I was telling him, like, it's so crazy that we've had so many conversations about him doing this event. And he was saying, like, you know, you and Amir, like really pushed me and inspired mm-hmm. me to go this far. And I was saying, like, you know, it's crazy that you feel inspired by us because you inspire a lot of our conversations too. Yeah. And he was just like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a nice conversation. Yeah. You inspire us
too. The one thing that actually did inspire me coming down to something we were talking about, like doing a live show. I feel like what the size of his event would be mm-hmm. like a good first live show.
I don't know if we could get away with that.
What do you mean?
I feel like that audience would just be like our friends and family.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
For me, yeah, of course. Yeah. Because I feel like we would both be comfortable. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the minute... And don't get us wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we both have the ability to be social. And I very much am an extrovert. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to the podcast and people recognizing us for that, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but I just get so shy.
It's because, you know, it's new. It's something new. And we all react to new things very differently, right? Whether you be introverted or extroverted.
Yeah, like, and, like, the thought, like, I really want to do a live event.
Yeah, which is ironic because, oh, sorry.
You can, no.
I was going to say, it's ironic because, like, my way of coping with something new like that is by being more extroverted.
I know. It's so weird. Like, Amir and I have so many similarities, but we're actually like the polar opposites. Yeah. Like, I hope you guys know, and you're seeing it now as we talk.
But that also goes back to the reason I know that I'm introverted in a sense is because in those moments, I'm not technically in the moment. Like, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there.
No thought behind his eyes.
But, like, my brain is literally going at 1,000 miles per hour. Like, yeah. Okay, so how do I come off with the best impression for every single individual in this room? Even the cleaners must love me.
I can literally, like, I can physically see when your brain is going a mile a minute mm-hmm. and when your brain is just, like, slow, like, like, I can literally see the difference in mm-hmm. you. And that's why I was saying, like, when I know when you're in the moment, when you're just, like, when you're literally just, like,
Yeah, when I'm quiet, I'm in the moment.
But if Amir, mm-hmm. if Amir is, like, in... like his, you know, in his extroverted era.
Yeah.
One, he talks so fast. Two, he talks loud.
Yeah.
Like, you're loud and I'm just like, oh my God, Amir.
Yeah. So if I'm talking really loud.
Just know.
Yeah.
He's got like 1,000 thoughts literally, in his head.
Yeah. I'm like the person who's sitting 60 degrees behind me or like 6 feet away behind me. How do I look from my back of my head? Do I look like, am I moving my neck too much?
And the way you go from one comma to the next.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay,
like literally I'm just like, oh my God, Amir.
It's like in a video game. You might not get, it's like in a video game, you went to a room where there's a bunch of like new NPCs. You're like, okay, I need to have a conversation and exhaust all of their conversation bubbles or conversation lines. What? Like in RPG games, usually whenever you get to a new place.
What's RPG?
A role playing game.
Huh?
A role playing game. Like
like those story games that you used to play?
Yeah, they're called? Sort of like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So in role-playing
games. Like Zelda?
Games, sort of.
I don't know why I thought of Zelda.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Like Zelda. Okay. Let's say in Zelda, you pull up to a new town.
Yeah.
Different townsfolk, like NPCs, will have conversations that you can have with them, right? And some of them may lead to just to a quest. Some of them may just be a conversation with a character.
Oh.
But as a completionist, you just want to have a conversation with every single person in there.
Yeah.
So you make sure you've exhausted everything. So when you go, so you know that you've completed this room.
You leave no stone unturned.
Yeah. And that has like transferred that like gameplay idea or like that sense of like interacting with a room has transferred to real life for me. I don't know why. So I feel like I have to have a conversation with every single person there.
Yeah.
Or at least every single person that I believe has a conversation like tree.
That's actually crazy.
I'm telling you guys. I'm not right in the head, okay? But that's how I think.
That's why you're so exhausted by the end of the night.
Exactly.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And then that's why when I'm finished with all the conversation trees with these people, like, you know, I feel like I've completed all the checklists, whatever, you know, completed all the quests, you know.
But you know what the difference is?
What?
I feel like for you, you have like an internal like ticking, like a time stopwatch.
Yeah.
Where it's like you have to do it as fast as possible. Talk to everybody as quick as possible.
I do.
I ease myself into it.
It's because I have like a social battery. So if I don't
like
finish it,
duh.
Yeah, I'm gonna be too tired to do it, and then I go home with regret, being like, did I feel like I brushed off a lot?
Then you start overthinking.
Exactly.
I'm opposite.
And now you know I can never be in the moment.
We've uncovered it, guys.
Yeah.
I ease my way in, mm-hmm. and then by the end of the night, I'm like, oh my god, I'm having so much fun. Nah,
at the end of the night, I'm like, I need to get out of here.
I know.
I need to get out of here now. What?
That voice.
Don't.
You hate that voice, Sarah.
Stop. But you know, that's so, like, that's actually so interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We should hook you up to one of those machines where they tape those things on your brain just to study it.
Where they see like all my brain lighting up. It'll just be like red. I don't know if red is the color, but whatever color shows your brain lighting up, that's what it would be.
That's actually like, now that I'm like thinking about the way that we interact so differently, mm-hmm. because that stress is like, I will never forget that event that we went to mm-hmm. with for the Abuan podcast. And that was,
oh yeah.
What was that, 2021? I think
it was during COVID. It was like,
was it 2022? The beginning of 2022.
Yeah.
Like the spring, summertime.
It was like right when people started coming outside again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my social anxiety was at like level 50. But, mm-hmm. and so the differences in the way we interacted was displayed that night because mm-hmm. Amir was just talking to everybody. And mm-hmm. I felt so bad because obviously they recognized the both of us. So they would want to talk to us. And I was just like, dead in the face. I'm like, yep, Amir, you got this. And then by the end of it,
rebooting.
Yeah. And then by the end of it, I was like, oh yeah. Like, and then Amir's like, let's go now. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I exhausted the room. All my conversation trees were done. I'm like, okay, let's move on to the next room.
Yeah, that's, like, now that I'm seeing the differences, mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyone who knows us in like our personal lives, did you guys ever notice this about us? Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. You know what else has been stressing me out?
What?
Like, first off, one thing I regret, like, I don't regret a lot, but one thing I regret not doing before I got married was living in my own place. Because, like, maybe that also might play into why I couldn't be in the moment of getting a new place or finally getting a place after, like, months of searching, is because, like, then I was thinking about, okay, like, this is the first time I get a new place. What do I need? Right, because I'm literally coming with nothing. I need to like get everything new.
You're gonna,
like,
walk in with the broom and your clothes tied on.
Oh, this girl giving that. Like today, I literally spent like $300, and
on what?
On like the most basic things, like towels, hand towels, a trolley, pillows, a little like air inflatable bed for like guests who might be coming through.
Yeah,
like just those most mundane things, and I'm already spending that much money. So I'm already thinking about like, what is the budget on finding a place? But the next big thing is, it might sound dumb, but like I've been stressing over like what aesthetic I'm gonna make the place, or we're going to like build in this place. Cause like the thing is that you can like, to build an aesthetic, like you kind of have to. Some people, they usually do it over time, right?
Yeah.
When they already have stuff. But you know, for me, in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to have to do this twice. I don't want to waste money. I want to be able to pick an aesthetic and kind of build on top of that with this thing, with the things we're buying. But you're also kind of in a time constraint where you're like, you need to move in. You need to get everything kind of like put in the next couple weeks, or at least as soon as possible, so you can actually live there. But
no, but like,
what?
Sorry to cut you off. There really isn't a rush. Like, get your necessities. So as long as you have something to sleep on.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
But even what you sleep on, like your bed frame, can be an aesthetic, part of the aesthetic.
Sleep on a mattress for the first 2 weeks until you guys find a bed frame that you like. Mm-hmm. And honestly, a lot of the decor pieces, just leave it to her.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure she will consider you and not pick like overly feminine mm-hmm. things. Like, it'll be a nice balance.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as you move on to like bigger spaces, inshallah, eventually a home, mm-hmm. you'll have your man cave that you have full control over.
Yeah. I guess, you know what I mean? But that's the thing. It might be even an irrational stress. It's just something I've been thinking about. You know what it is?
What?
It's the algorithm. Because I started looking up random things. You know how like you're moving into a place, you're looking for like furniture?
Yeah.
And I started getting a bunch of aesthetic TikToks and Instagram reels. Mm. Like people who are like, oh, the aesthetic of this is my place. Like this is how I made my living room. This is how I made my kitchen. This is what our place looks like, right? And you're like, oh, that looks nice. Oh, no, that looks nice. And like,
but take note of what you like from each one. And
yeah.
And then build, like, the best part about this is you literally have a clean slate.
Which is why I'm so stressed, because I'm like,
why?
If you go in with a bunch of things, you can swap things out over time, right? But if you're going with nothing, then you're like, oh, like, if I buy this now, like, will I like it? Will it fit with everything else?
You know what?
Yeah.
Go to Costco, because you can return their stuff. Like,
yeah, next.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Costco is like very weird. Like, sometimes they might have things, sometimes they don't.
And that's the beauty of having your own place, is that you don't have to rush.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's not even a rational fear. It's just something I'm thinking about. I don't know why.
Stop stressing.
What?
Stop stressing.
I know. It's also like
the fact that relax.
That's easy to say, okay? But it's also like, now things are becoming real to the point where like my routine is going to be disrupted
100% now. That's what it is.
Okay.
That's literally what it is. What? See, you know deep down that your routine is about to flip upside down.
Yeah.
So that's why you're picking all these other small things to stress about. Who cares if you don't know what your aesthetic is for the house? You're freaking out more about your routine.
That could be it. That could be it.
It is.
Yeah.
Because, like, be real for a second. BFFR. Your routine is like your prized possession.
Yeah, it's because I have so much control over it. Like I mentioned, when I have control and I know what's coming next, like that's where I feel the most in the moment.
Yeah, but Amir, this is an opportunity of growth. You know why? Because now you can build a new routine. That's exciting.
Yeah, but that also goes back to why I regretted not getting my own place initially, because then I would have the experience of knowing what it's like of moving to a new place. And like having to change things and like build a new routine. But now I'm going to have to do that with another person that I'm also
for sure going to shock your system. For sure it's going to shock. Like, you might be miserable for a little bit, but also happy. It's going to be like a mix of emotions.
Yeah. Well, for me,
but this is
lack
where
of emotions, but
no, you'll have emotions, but it'll be like, what's the saying? Nothing good comes out of the comfort zone. Yeah. I feel like you are the opposite. Everything good comes out of the comfort zone for you. But I'm saying, like, this is like when you're uncomfortable and when you're out of your routine is when you have the most growth. So like, think of this as like an awakening and a new opportunity.
Yeah, I'm excited for the change.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how it will change. Like, technically, when it comes to my routine, like the area that we're in may even be better for what I was doing, like, my routine. When I mention routine, usually it literally just means like
his walk in the gym.
Yeah, gym and walking and meal prepping. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the main thing I've been stressing out for is like my meal prepping, because like food wise, I'm not really sure what's available in my area, right? Mm. Over here I have easy access to like a Walmart which has the halal chicken that I usually get, and like all the groceries and stuff. I would get it from like one place essentially. But now, is there a store near me that can give me everything that I need, right? So it's those things that I'm trying to figure out, and I know I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's just the anticipation
of
that is what's stressing me out right now. And I'm literally going to figure it out tomorrow, because tomorrow my wife is coming. So, you know,
I would have figured this out. It's the growing pains.
Exactly. And, you know, you guys can hopefully join me.
Anyone who's newly married or is already married, if you have some advice for Amir, I'm sure he'll enjoy reading the comments.
Yeah, man. So I'm looking out for them. You know, if you guys have any advice or whatever, let me know. If you can relate to anything that I was stressed over or talking about, you can let me know in the comments there.
Think of it this way.
What?
You're too blessed to be stressed.
I'm too blessed. Alhamdulillah.
There we go. There we go.
For everything. Okay.
There we go. And this is not to dismiss your feelings. I'm not dismissing your feelings. Like, you can be stressed about things, but like, focus on what you can control. Mm-hmm. And whatever is out of your control, just let it happen the way it's
supposed to. Yeah, that's how I normally live my life.
Yeah.
But like, in the back of my head, like, on the surface, that's how I am. And that's how I try and trick my brain into being. But in the subconscious, it's always going a mile a minute about whatever is going on, right? So, yeah, I'm trying to make the outside match the inside more, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, inshallah, you know, in next couple weeks, because I literally got the keys
yesterday.
What day is it today?
The 15th, no?
Friday, Saturday? I got it on Thursday, which was the 15th. Yeah. I got it then, but I wasn't like ready to move in right away, and now my wife is coming tomorrow, so tomorrow will really be the, like, you know, kind of like grand moving day.
Well, I mean, there's not much to move.
But like where we go out and start looking for things. Like, I think we might be going to an event, so it'll be our first event together. So, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of change and a lot of new things. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for the new things, but it's definitely it's going to take some time to get used to. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
And the good thing is that, like, because if you were to move out on your own before you got married, then mm-hmm. you would be going through all those things alone. Mm-hmm. And like the nice thing about having your, like, Hanan here is that you guys get to experience it together. Obviously, mm-hmm. like, your emotions may be different and you'll actually have your own individual experience and so will she.
Yeah.
But at least you have, like, that person to, like, at the end of the day, like, you're just like, okay, today was a great day, or today was a mm-hmm. hard day. Let's talk about it, type of thing, you know?
But I think it's also another thing that's been, like, that I've been thinking about is that, well, this kind of plays into, it wasn't really a stress initially, but every time I tell someone I got married, they're like, oh, okay, where is she from? Is she from the city? I'm like, no, she's in Dallas. And they're like, oh, okay, so you're moving there? And I'm like, no, she's moving here. And the next question, usually from guys, is why? Like, why are you staying here? And then initially, I'll just tell them, you know, I just feel like there's a lot more things to do here, especially in, like, which from specifically is, like, you know, it's very rural and we like more of, like, an urban lifestyle, that kind of thing. So we thought this would be, like, the best place to do that, at mm-hmm. least right for now. Mm-hmm. But as more and more people say why, like, it's literally dozens of people saying that. Like, of course, it's going to start affecting your thought process. Like, yeah.
You let them get in your head.
Why am I thinking that this is a good place to start our journey together, right? And the thing is that I still feel like it's a good idea to be here, and, like, whether it does cost a lot, like, cost of living might be a little bit high or whatever, I feel like the trade-off of, like, the lifestyle you can have here, like, all the things you can do is worth it, at least initially, especially if you guys are both, like, you know, well off, like, pretty affluent. It's not like we're struggling. We're not paycheck to paycheck or anything. So we have the available funds to kind of live wherever we want. And right mm-hmm. now I feel like this is the best spot. Mm-hmm. Of course, it might be a little bit selfish because I live here, but overall I feel like the city does have a lot to offer, right? But it definitely gets to your head and you start thinking about that, and then that adds, like, another layer to where you're like, wait, now I should that means now I, like, have to kind of, like, present the city in a way that she doesn't start thinking like that.
No,
right? That's what, when people start saying things again and again and again, you're like, am I crazy or are they crazy, right? And then, and eventually, if enough people say it, then you start pointing the finger towards you instead of them, right?
I know you hate when I do this, but Nicholas Jerry Jonas once said, don't let them get inside of your head.
Oh my, you and your quotes. And why do you use his full name? First, I didn't even put that together. I was like,
I know you didn't.
Like, you're like quoting some, like, you know, some, like, some well-known author or whatever.
Well, he is technically a well-known. Oh my,
get that out of here.
But you know what it is?
Yeah.
Get out of your head for a second and do what's best for you and do what's best for you two together. Who, like, literally F what everyone else thinks.
And I know that.
They're thinking about it like, oh, you know, Dallas has cheap homes. Okay, mm-hmm. but you're in Dallas. And, like, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Dallas is a really nice city.
Yeah.
But if that's not your vibe and that's not what you're looking mm-hmm. for, who cares if their houses are $2 versus mm-hmm. $2 million here?
And that's the thing that annoys me now, is that, like, I realize that this idea of getting a home, mm-hmm. this only is something I recently started thinking about. This idea of getting a home is very, like, mid-century. Mm. Like, this is something that was the ideal for people who were born in the 1950s and, like,
the, you know, boomers.
The boomers. Like, their idea of, like, the perfect life, or, like, the perfect, the easy track of life, or what do you call it again? The normal track, the regular. What is it called?
I know what you're talking about. I forgot.
You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
But essentially that.
Yeah.
is, you know, you like go to school,
get a degree, get a job, get a house, get a family,
and then get a house.
Well, get married, get a house, and then have kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now I'm realizing that, like, we live in a much more connected world, and, like, setting roots in a place nowadays, like, especially with our mindsets, I feel like it can easily lead to regret, and it can really cost you more down the line versus just renting and being able to live. You never feel like you're stuck in a place. Because that's one thing I was thinking about. Is like, why do people prefer to, why are people saying to buy a house? And really, like, renting, if you think about it, because I also always, I always think about it from, like, an investor's mindset as well.
Well, for a lot of people, their homes, their houses are their biggest asset. But houses
should not be investments.
But to them, it feels...
They should not be.
I know, it doesn't... It doesn't... Like, when you think about it, it's like, if you were to sell this house, then you're homeless.
Exactly. So you're going to have to buy another house. But also, I feel like... I think the housing market crash in, like, 2008 really should pretty much... warn anybody, or like it should make anybody uneasy when they're like thinking of buying a house. Apprehensive. It should make them more apprehensive when they're thinking about buying a house, purely because of the investment opportunity in it. If you want to buy a house, buy a house because you want it to be your home.
Yeah,
don't think about it as like, I'm buying this house purely for, not purely, but also because of for it to be an investment. Once you start going into it like that, then I feel like you should be questioning why you're even doing it in the first place.
I mean, it works for some people where they'll buy, like, they'll start small, they'll start with a condo, then they can move to a townhouse, then it's like semi-detached, then detached, then like.
But this is an economy where your price of your house is increasing.
Yeah, so it doesn't
over time. But people have been spoiled in the last 10 years because of the exponential growth of the housing market.
Yeah.
But recently, we've seen that the housing market has been leveling out, and it's not, you're not seeing as much growth. You're almost seeing a decline in certain senses, right? Or in certain places. So that idea, I think people might still be stuck in that idea of like, oh, if you buy a house, oh, you'll be able to sell it in 5 years from now for $100,000 more.
Yeah.
But then you forget that when you're buying a house, like, you're also paying property tax. You're paying all the, what do you call it? On top of the mortgage. Mm-hmm. This is on top of a mortgage, which mortgage is usually even a little bit more than what you'd get for rent.
Depends,
but it can be. And then on top of that, you have the property tax, like you mentioned. Then you have the maintenance fees, and you have the utility fees, right? And then you have, like, let's say, like, recently in our house, we had our water heater breakdown. That's a $3,500 expense right there, just a random expense. Let's say you own this house already, house is yours, and you just had to spend $3,500 on it, right? So you never really fully escape that. And then eventually your house starts breaking down, you have to get renovations done. That's $20,000 right there you have to put down on it.
It's probably double that now.
Double that sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So I've been sort of changing my mind and be like, okay, if I did want to buy a place, like, maybe I'll continue renting and then buy a place and, like, maybe rent that place out. If you're going to think about it as an investment, don't try and make it both. Like, both an investment and a house. Because then, I don't know, I feel like that idea is very boomerish. And the new generation should probably, like, rethink why we have this push to go ahead and buy a house. Because in certain economies, it just doesn't make sense to buy a house.
Yeah. Like I said before, do what's best for you. Like, if you don't want to firmly establish your roots.
Exactly.
Here. Mm-hmm. And you want to be a little bit more fluid where you can move around if you wanted to. Or you could stay here. Like, literally, whatever is best for you. That's why I'm saying, like, don't let people get into your head.
Yeah.
And when you first get married, when you first have a kid, when you're doing something for the first time, people love giving you unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
You never even ask for it and they give it to you. Just take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And just do what's best for you.
Yeah. Because that's what made me think about this is because a lot of people were saying, oh, why don't you buy a house? Why don't you buy a house? Look into that, right? And I'm like, why do people keep saying buy a house? And I was thinking, I was trying to do the math. I'm like, the amount of money that I'd be spending on a house, like, let's say if I were looking at it as an investment opportunity or some way to build some type of equity. Because sure, the one positive of having a house is the fact that you have equity, and, like, in the future, if you need loans, you can use it as collateral. So, like, it makes it easy for you to get a loan.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can also just take whatever money you would have spent on a house
Or the down payment.
Or the down payment. Like, let's say now only like 40% of your income is going to your rent. You take, and your expenses are like 30%. Mm-hmm. You take whatever's left of that, put it into the market. It compounds on itself and like gains, I think like 7 to 8%. If it's following the market, it's like 7 to 8% each year. Mm-hmm. And that compounds on itself as the more you reinvest in it. And you might have a larger amount saved by the time like you would have wanted to sell your house, right? And at that, and the positive of having that, sorry, I know I'm talking about money here and all this stuff, but this is just something that was really annoying me recently because a lot of people were saying buy the house. So I started thinking about this. But all that money that you're saving, let's say you want to buy something with a really large expense, instead of like going and trying to get a loan and having to pay interest on that, whatever, you can pull from your savings, the ones mm-hmm. that you were putting, investing in the market. You can just pull it. It's liquid. You can take it out right away and spend on whatever you need. And then that money will continue to appreciate over time anyways, right? And compound on itself as you reinvest in it later. So I don't know. There's just the idea of buying a house, I'm a lot less hot on it than I was even like a month ago.
Yeah, but your mind's probably going to change again like a bunch of times.
Yeah.
As you continue to go through this journey, right? Like mm-hmm. you say this now, but you know, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, mm-hmm. next year, you might even just be like, yeah, you know what? We're going to start looking for a house, or like we'll wait until next year. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. your mind will be forever changing, and it'll change to best suit where you're at in that moment.
Yeah.
And your 5-year goal or whatever, you know?
Yeah. But I always tell people, like, no matter what, mm-hmm. even if you just start working and like you do have dreams of buying a house.
Yeah.
While you're waiting, don't let the money just sit there. Invest it in something. Mm. Open up like account and invest it. There are a lot of like now, thankfully, a lot of halal ETFs mm-hmm. that you can put it in. They follow the market. You easily can get, especially recently, there's the market. Well, there was a crash recently, but it is getting back up. But even previous years and this year, like it's already still on track of being like almost, I think like a 14% return. So,
wow. So
like, even if you put in like, I don't know, $1,000, you get $140. Yeah. $140 yeah. back. From that, and mm-hmm. just for it sitting there, you're not doing anything to it. You don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. And then as you're reinvesting it, that continues to compound and increases over time. Just, you know, don't let your money sit there. And, you know, this is something else to take away from this podcast. But
I hope
this is entertaining in some way.
I think so.
We did a lot. This is like a therapist session.
It really was a therapy session.
But hope again, you guys. Yeah, you can close it out.
Took something from it. I don't know. Y'all know I love these kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. but if you guys want to continue the conversation, or you want to share your thoughts on anything that we've talked about, if you resonated with it, let us know. Comment. Also, we are so close to 7,000 subscribers. Yeah. Like I'm pretty sure, inshallah, by the time we actually post this, we might even hit it. But right now we are at the live number. Oh my God.
What?
We're at 6,994. We're six away. We're literally six people away from 7,000 subscribers, which is crazy mm-hmm. because you guys know at the very beginning of 2024, one of our goals was to hit 10,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's August.
I'm just saying, you know, we might have a couple big episodes coming out soon. So that could definitely help. But If you want to see those episodes when they come out, make sure you hit the subscribe button right now.
Like potentially meeting Amir's wife.
But for any other updates, make sure you follow us on our other social medias, Cousin Connection Pod, TikTok, Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can see our reels there too. We don't post the reels as much on YouTube because of the length issue. But if you want to see them, you can watch them on our Instagram and TikTok for now. But other than that, I hope the conversation was somewhat fruitful to you guys. You know, also go ahead, check out Sweet Talks, Speaking of Fruits by Hassan Logic.
Yeah. His, you can find him on Instagram and TikTok at, HASSANLOGIC.
Yeah. But, until then, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance.
But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This just in, Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime.
Deal extended till January 17th.
See Home Club for details.